Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Let's get into the Word of God. We're going to be in the book of Judges this morning. It's kind of funny because, of course, we're in the book of Judges. So this past week, I got called for jury duty. So sure enough, I said, thank you, Lord, you know, and so I'm trying to figure out all these different ways I can get out of it, as does everybody else. And so I remember I going down for jury duty, and here was the funny thing. They gather just this massive humanity into a room, and then you can just feel everybody's aggravated. And so I got to give it to the people that they're kind of directing us what to do. They were unbelievably kind and trying to make light of stuff. But nobody wants to be there, except there's always the two people there with their CSI t-shirt on, and they're like so excited. This is my moment. You can't handle the truth, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then I just love the point, too, where they let us know, I know you're here today, but the good news is you get $5 a day, you know. And I know what most of you are thinking this morning. Yes, I did tithe off of it, all right? I put in my $1 and for my 2 days of jury duty. And then I love this, too, is they actually quarantined us as you're waiting the entire day to see if you're going to be chosen for jury. They quarantine you in these different rooms, but they give you an option. And so in one room, we'll be viewing HGTV. In this room, we'll be viewing ESPN. And in this room, we'll be viewing CNN, all right? And here's what I love. They're trying to get a group of impartial people that aren't passing judgment. And you know what's happening? You're judging everybody by what room they go into. The men that went into HGTV, I promise you, all the group of men were out there, yeah, my wife likes HGTV. Way to go, buddy. You know, there's that. Then it's funny, all the news people are out looking at the ESPN guys, and they're like, bunch of uneducated people in there, right? And then the CNN people, you could feel that there's Fox people outside of there looking in there, and they're like wondering, huh, how long have you enjoyed fake news, right? And so this is like the whole kind of gamut. If you're wondering, I went in none of those rooms. I was reading my Bible in the lobby, all right? Just so you know, just so we're clear. But we're going to be in the book of Judges. And it's interesting. It has nothing to do with, like, Judge Judy, Judge Wapner. You need to get that out of your head. But what it is, think more of a military leader, someone who's a tribal leader that God appoints to free and rescue God's people from oppression from pagan nations, okay? And that's who a judge is in the Scriptures. The book of Judges is 21 chapters. It covers a span, though, of 400 years of the history of Israel. And can I just tell you this? It's not a very glamorous history, that 400 years. So there's roughly 12 judges, not roughly, there is 12 judges in the book of Judges. And this is where we get kind of infamous characters that we remember, like Gideon or Deborah, the prophetess. Today we're going to talk about a man we've all heard of, Samson, the yoked up brother, okay? We're going to have talk about him. And so we get these characters, but let me just reassure you this. It is not a good book. It's a book that starts off dark, and it just gets darker and darker the more you read it. Think Game of Thrones. Like, it's just a series of brutal deaths, murder, perversion, and just when you think it can't get worse, it just gets worse again. And so this is the very first Game of Thrones, if you will, because at the end of the book, it's going to leave humanity longing for a king. And that's actually going to take us somewhere in our Casket Empty series. Remember, Casket, C, Creation, A, Abraham, S, Sinai, and we're going to transition today into the book of Kings, which will be next week. So I think it's important. So the book of Judges is this downward spiral of humanity and God's people, and it gets to the point, the end of the book of Judges, you can't tell which one's the pagan and which one's the Christian or the child of God. You can't tell the difference between the two. And so it's an alarming cycle of sin that we begin to see. And I think, Izzy, we have a picture of this cycle that we're going to see throughout the book of Judges. Like, if you've ever watched, anybody watch Fixer Upper before? Right, it's perpetually on in my home. It is the same story over and over and over, and we love it. And in the book of Judges, it's the same story. And so here's what it is God blesses his people, right? He gives them, and then what happens, sin entices them, they fall away, start worshiping false idols, then God will release them, hey, if you want other gods, take them. And then what happens, and a foreign nation comes in, oppresses them, they cry out to God in repentance, God raises up a judge, and then what they do, they get right, and they're blessed again, and then repeat, over and over and over. And here's what's the alarming thing, as I just kind of was in the book of Judges this week. This sounds scarily like my life. Anyone else? Like, it was funny. I so appreciate Sue Hiles. We were at the Pastor Dottie. Her mother passed away a couple weeks ago. And when we were at the viewing, you know, they always have the area where they have all the photos. And it's just like this montage of a person's life. And you're going over, and it's like, I always get a kick at looking at all the different hairdos, you know, throughout. Like, Dottie's a different person. I'm like, what? That's you? That's you? That's you? But here's the funny part. For those of you that are guests here, I apologize. This won't make sense to you. But Jimmy Flanagan, he's like 30 years back. He's still got the feathered hair and the mustache all the way through 30 years. Hasn't changed at all, right? So that's Jimmy. Sorry, Jimmy, if you're watching. But but it's funny. Sue made this comment. She says, you know what? She says, I think I have those same pictures in my house. And as you start to think about it, it's like, yeah, here's the Christmas photo. Oh, here's the new year. Here's the graduation. Here's the kid's birth, going on and on. And like, I was like, I have those photos too. And so the reality is this, the cycle of sin, it's common to us in humanity. And the great news is when you're aware of that, it leaves you desperate for a Savior King to come rescue us out of this cycle. And so that's where it wants to be. And so at the end of this dark book, the book of Judges, we're going to read this. Judges 21, it's the last line in the book of Judges. It says this, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And the book just fades to black. And so this idea of the people did what was right in their own eyes. Like, what's amazing, this book was written 3,000 years ago, and yet it's never been more true than that right now. That humanity, we just do what we think is right in our own eyes. And listen, like, so we live in a relativistic society now. Like, our culture is, hey, your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. Hey, whatever you believe is good for you. Well, what happens when those truths collide? How many know that's a train wreck? And so this relativistic thing where nothing's actually true, but whatever you believe, it's insanity, and it's the book of Judges. We live in a pluralistic society, right? Always lead to God. You know what's so crazy about that is that all of the major religions on the planet would disagree with that statement. Yet pluralism is the only thing that's kind of socially accepted today. How dare you say only one way leads to God, right? But that's the monotheistic faith. That's what they believe. There's only one way. And so we see this kind of train wreck, and it's the book of Judges. And we're living in this time. We live in a time, too, and I know I beat this drum. Forgive me, but I do think it's problematic for us. Our day today, we'll say this, follow your heart. And the Bible is going to scream, no, don't. It's wicked. Don't listen to it. But yet what? We just say, oh, follow your heart, follow your heart. And it's killing us because we raised a generation that are being led by their emotions. And listen, I want to champion. Emotions are great. My wife will tell you, I'm an emotional guy. Like, I'm cry at all the Disney shows, you know? Like that's who I am. But the reality is, think of it this way. Emotions, like on your car, you have gauges, and it lets you know what's going on the inside of your car. But you also have a GPS, and that's designed to direct you where you want to get to, how you want to get to where you want to go. And when you confuse those two, how many know that's a mess? And that's what we've done. We've confused the gauges with the GPS. And so we need to be led by the Word of God, ultimate truth. And so people did what was right in their own eyes. And if you're familiar with the scriptures, remember we started in seed creation? And remember how sin was introduced to the world. What was it? They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, I get to decide what's right and what's wrong. And so we're finding ourselves back in the book of Judges with this downward spiral because here's the truth, and you're not going to like this, is we make terrible gods. Terrible. And I've said this before, but if you really look and examine, do a CSI on your own life, nobody has been as cruel to you as you. No one has lied to you as much as you. No one has deceived you as much as you. And so we can see we're not good gods. And so this is setting our hearts up for our need for a Savior King. And so who is going to save us from us? A Savior. And so we need this Savior King, not only to save us from us, but how many know there's another thing? We need to be saved from sin. And sin is unbelievably, it's subtle and it's seductive. No one sees it. Like, no one is like, you know what? I want to be an addict. It never starts that way. It starts with a sip, a puff, a hit. It starts subtle, simple, innocent, seductive. That's how it starts. No one says, hey, you know what I want to do? I want to have an affair and then train wreck my marriage. You don't do that. It starts with a look. It starts with, I want to be addicted to porn. No, it starts by just looking at something you shouldn't have looked at. And suddenly it just starts to grow into something horrific that you could never imagine. And so Israel, when they possessed a promised land, God warned them. He says, there's a pagan people in there. I've come to judge them. You need to thrust them out of my promised land. Don't leave any of them, because if you do, they are going to influence you rather than you influence them. So God says, drive them out. And yet they refuse to do so. So we're actually in a time of mourning in my home. My wife's wearing black. It's because we've begun the whole 30 diet again. And that's where you get no sugar, no carbs, like no joy. Just think no joy is what you get. And so when we started the diet, my daughter Cassie, she did what we just call the purge. And we go through all the cabinets and we just hike out. And I come home and there's this mountain of food, like Ben and Jerry's and chips. And I'm like, no, not the Oreos. And we just chuck all that stuff out. Why? Because you might be strong for a moment, but you just come 10 p.m. and then the Oreos start calling you. Those carb demons start whispering in your, and what happens? It starts subtle and it starts to call to you. So we just like, get that stuff out of here. If you look in your Bible, there's in the book of Genesis, if you remember the story of Abraham, and he had his nephew Lot, and God blessed them so much that they grew too prosperous that the land couldn't maintain the two of them. And so they decided to split up. And so Lot, he split up into a beautiful land, and he set his tent up that faced Sodom. And so he looked at Sodom, and you know, we turn one page after that, and next thing you know, we find Lot is living in the center of Sodom, because sin is subtle. It seduces. It calls us in. Listen, you are way more influenced by your surroundings than you ever could imagine. So if you're like 40 and under, you'll have to Google this. But if not, how many remember the show Candid Camera? You guys remember that show, Candid Camera? So they had that. Well, there's one episode where they got a hidden camera. And a guy gets on the elevator, you know, the doors open, boom, and he gets in, and he's standing like this. And then he goes up one floor, and then three guys get on the elevator, but they face the other way. And he's like, you know, and they're like, boom, door shut. And they're like, he's like, why are they facing the other way? Go up one more floor, one other guy gets on, and he faces the other way. Boom, door closes, and the dude's like, and he turns around, and it's just us. It's human nature. We're influenced. And so God's like, you need to drive the pagan out. Get sin out of your life, because sin is not your friend. And I want to encourage you, we are called to make war with the flesh at all times. And if you're new to the faith, when I say flesh, I don't mean like your body. I mean, there's a broken part of us that we want to do the opposite of what God says, all of us. And we're called to make war with that. And to make peace with our flesh is to doom us. And so, because it always starts small, and you guys will recall this story, But my youngest daughter, she hates snakes. I did the Jets Chapel yesterday, the New York Jets, and I asked them about, hey, do you guys have any phobias? And to a man, they all hated snakes, right? So this, you're welcome for this story then. You guys remember the story of, there was a Trina Hibbert, she lived in Australia, and so she was there, and she knew she had a snake living in her attic. It's Australia, it's different, okay? But what she didn't realize when she woke up in the morning, and I think we have a photo of this, Izzy, is that it was actually, she woke up to this python 16 and a half feet long. You can see it draped from one room to the other. And so what she thought was a cute little snake that was getting rid of rodents in her house was actually a 16 and a half foot python, which she decided was probably trying to eat her. Sin is not your friend. Sin is not cute. Do you know the first time we see the word sin in the scriptures? It's in the book of Genesis, and God is warning Cain. He says, Cain, he says, sin, it's crouching at your door, and its desire is to have you. It wants to consume you. That's the first time we hear sin. And so we're continually making war with our flesh and driving it out. Sin is also seductive, and it was seductive to Israel. As they entered into the promised land, do you know the Canaanites, they worship foreign gods. The most prevalent were the god Baal and Asherah. Baal was the god of prosperity, of fruitfulness, increase. Asherah was his girlfriend, and the gods would hook up in the heavens. And so what they would do is they would, you know how they worshiped? They would go to the temple, and there would be temple prostitutes there. I'll just leave it there, because we're family service in here today, but can we just assume that a night of worship that we had is different than their night of worship? Okay, we're good? And so that's what would begin to happen. And so this sexually charged pagan deities became this consistent, constant stumbling block for Israel. Their hearts kept getting drawn to it over and over and over again. And the reason why I reference that is I'm so glad that in 2019 that's not an issue for us, right? I mean, it's the continual thing. Like in our culture today, it's so sexually charged that you can't sell shampoo, you know, without like, oh, you know, this kind of thing. And it's like just kind of insane because it's there. It's designed to be this hook, all right, into us. And so I'll say this is sin. It'll always feel like freedom, but in the end, it leads to slavery. Without a doubt, it feels freedom because what you're saying is, hey, I'm free from the restraint of the law or rules. I'm free, and then you start doing this thing, and then what happens? Suddenly, yeah, you're free. Nobody can stop you. But over time, what begins to happen? Nobody can stop you, not even yourself. And so, see, it positions ourselves to know, oh my gosh, I need a King Savior to save me from me. And to save me from sin. And so we're going to get a Savior King. It's preparing our hearts, right? And I'm going to just, spoiler alert, did you know that your entire Bible is about a Savior King that's going to come and rescue? It's the entire thing, from the Old Testament to the New. Like in the book of Genesis, God goes to Abraham. And you know what God tells Abraham in Genesis 17? He says, from your loins, kings are going to come from you. And then you fast forward, we can go to the book of Numbers. Do you remember in the book of Numbers, there was a warlock by the name of Balaam. He was the guy in Balaam's donkey, and he was assigned to curse God's people, Israel. And he went to curse them, and he couldn't. He could only bless them. And you know the reason why? Is because he let them know, I can't curse him, because he says this, the shout of a king is among them. And then you keep going like this. We go to King David, who's a pretty spectacular king. But at the end of his life, God tells him in 2 Samuel, he says, I'm going to raise up a king from your line whose kingdom will never, ever end. It brings us all the way to Luke chapter 1. Remember the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. Get ready, because that's coming pretty soon. December's going to be here real soon, right? The angel Gabriel goes to Mary, and what does he say? He says, you're going to have a son, and he's going to sit on David's throne forever. Keep going. Matthew chapter 3. The three wise men, remember them? There wasn't three, but we like to think there was. Three wise men come in. Do you remember what their question was? Hey, we're looking for the one born King of the Jews. Do you remember what they hung over the cross of Jesus Christ? a giant placard that says, King of the Jews. There's coming a time when God's going to rip the sky open. Jesus is going to return, and tattooed on his thigh is going to be this, King of Kings. At the end of time, we'll gather around the throne, and the scripture says, we earthly kings are going to take our crowns, and we're just going to throw it at his feet, and we're going to worship around the throne of a king. You were made for a savior king. And so let me talk about Samson really, really fast. I want to pull something out of this for you. I thought it important to take one of the judges. Let's talk about him. We all know Samson because he's the yoked up guy, right? The hair. And so Samson is the last of the judges. And so it's designed to show us that they start off pretty good, and then by the time they get to Samson, train wreck. And so Samson, here's just my one takeaway for today. His life is going to scream this to us. It's never too late. It's never too late with God. Never too late with God. And so my wife and daughter will appreciate this. They'll remember this. So we lived in Manhattan for about 2 years. And how many have ever ridden the Manhattan or New York subway? Good, quite a few. So, you know, unbelievably entertaining. Like, I was never at a loss for sermon illustrations because I ride the subway. It's amazing. So I remember, too, there's homeless are just all over the place, you know. And so I had to ask the Lord, I'm like, Lord, this is going to drive me nuts or I'm going to be broke. You need to tell me who to give and who not to give to. There was one guy, Cassie, I remember this one. There's one guy begging on the street, a homeless guy, and they're pretty wily, you know. And so the guy pulls up in front of my car, and he's got a sign, and he says, the sign has a question, what's the greatest nation? And then he flips the sign, and he says, a donation. I was like, come here, buddy, give him some money, right? Go do that one. So that was a good one. But Susan will remember this one. At 51st and 8th on the one train, whenever you'd go down, you can always see people, I got to make the train, I got to make it, because they could hear it streaking in. There was a homeless woman that would live there, and she would be like, ha, you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it. And then when the bus would go streaking by, she would go, too late. And we all knew this lady. Like, every time she'd be there, and I'd be like, lady, like, you need to read Dale Carnegie. You are not going to get money that way, you know? But constantly, too late. And so, listen, it's never too late with Almighty God. And so we're introduced to Samson in Judges chapter 13. And he has an amazing beginning. Because Samson's mom, she can't have a child, and so she's looked down upon from that. Her daddy's, her husband's a name by the guy by the name of Manoah. And what happens is the angel of the Lord appears and says, you're going to have a child. And here's the deal. This child is going to have a Nazarite vow for his entire life. And so if you're reading this, you'll be like, oh, this is going to be like a superhero or someone born like this. And he said, he's going to be set apart. And so a Nazarite vow is this. You couldn't drink any wine or alcohol. You couldn't touch anything dead. And you couldn't cut your hair. And so these are the three parts of the Nazarite vow. So heading into chapter 14, we're like, oh, this guy's going to be like Iron Man or somebody to deliver God's people. And we get there. And the first line of chapter 14 is this. Samson saw the Philistine, the pagan women. He fell in love with them and married them. And so we're right away like, wah, 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 right? And so we realize that this guy, Samson, all our expectations, just all the air gets let out of the bag. And the more we see Samson, we realize he's filled with lust, anger, rage. He's narcissistic. Remember I said you can't tell the difference between who's the hero and who's the pagan, right? And so he's filled with these things. And wherever Samson goes, it's a dumpster fire. Like, he's burning up everything. And just as a little side note, when you have the gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit, your world will burn. I've seen churches get burned down. These guys have the gift of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit on their life, and they just burn their churches to the ground. And so Samson, he breaks every one of his Nazarite vows. And here's the crazy thing. God honors him every time. Like, we all know the one where he picks up the jawbone of a donkey. He's not allowed to touch anything dead. He broke his vow. He actually had a bachelor party. It was actually the word in the Hebrew is it's a drinking party. And so he threw a drinking party. And so this guy, but God gives him strength. He honors his strength every time. God is faithful and we're faithless until we get to Judges chapter 16. And he's smitten with another Philistine girl by the name of Delilah. The name Delilah means temptress. Fellas, you know your match.com or doing that thing, man, and her name is temptress. Bro, run. Run. I mean, hey, dum-dum, don't do it. Hi, my name's Black Widow, you know, and like, let's, you want to go out? And so, but not Samson. He gets smitten with this Delilah. And so Samson goes to bed with Delilah, and Delilah's already in bed with the Philistines. In other words, she's trying to sell him out and get the secret of his strength so they can overtake him. And so he gives these little clues, but he doesn't quite tell her. Three times they try to kill him, and he goes back to her every time. Can you say codependent, right? And so this guy is a mess until finally he tells her the secret of his strength, or so he thought, was his hair. They cut his hair. And then here's the most alarming line I've ever heard in the scriptures. Samson thought when the Philistines attacked him and his hair was cut, he says, I'll go out as before. And then the scripture says this, he didn't realize the Lord had left him. Isn't that a terrifying verse of scripture? He went out before. And then what happens, the Philistines, they chain him, and then they gouge out his eyes, and they begin to mock him. And so here's what I wonder. Can you just kind of visualize me a little bit as his eyes have been ripped out, and in the darkness of his mind, in his imagination, all he hears is the mocking of the Philistines. I would imagine he hears the mocking of the devil, and maybe even worse, he hears the mocking of his own life. Too late, too late. But we all know this, it's never too late with God. So let me share this story. I want to share the story of Donald Gould. I'm not sure how many heard this story before. Pretty powerful. So we have a military picture. This is Donald Gould as a young man. And so he served in the military. Bright young guy, good-looking kid, right? And so what happens is he has all this promise as a young man. Right, he went to school for the arts and all this kind of stuff. He has a young wife, gets married, and so everything's looking very promising. He has destiny on his life, and then he makes a few bad decisions. He gets addicted to drugs. His wife gets addicted to drugs. She commits suicide. Their 3-year-old son, then, because of his addiction, is the state takes his 3-year-old. And this thing spirals down until he spends the next 7 years homeless and living on the streets. We have a picture of him. And there's Donald Gould there. And so can you say, too late? It's too late for him. But then I'm not sure if you saw this story. It went viral. In the streets of Sarasota, they were trying to actually encourage people in the arts, entertainment, put the devices down. And so they would randomly put out pianos on the street corners. And so it seemed to be too late for Donald until someone took a video of this thing that happened. Let's see if we have the video. Sail Away, and this thing went viral. 40 million people saw it, and then after that day, they started a GoFund for Donald Gould. He raised 40 grand, got his life clean, went into rehab. Then it went so viral that the San Francisco 49ers, they saw his story, and they wanted him to play the national anthem before the football game, and then other people saw that, and a recording studio offered him a record deal. And then not soon after that, he was reconciled back to his now grown son. And so, listen, it wasn't too late for Donald Gould, and it's never, never too late for you. And it wasn't too late for Samson, because I want you to read in Judges chapter 16, verse 22, it says this. It says, Samson, it says, but the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. And so here's what we see is the hair starting to grow. This has little to do with hair and everything to do with the relationship being rebirthed back to God. Has nowhere to turn, and he leans back into the Lord. And so, listen, any of us, listen, when you fall and you miss it, do you know what's at the center of our faith is a bloodstained cross, and it's there to remind us that it's never too late, that whenever we return, listen, God paid a lot to reconcile you back to himself, and so none of your sin is too expensive that the price of the blood of the Son of God can't reconcile us back to, and so it's never too late, and so the cross is a constant reminder for us. When you hear that voice, too late, wrong. I want to like just give you, there's a guy named Saul, we know him as Paul. He's persecuting the church, murdering Christians, ripping women and putting them from their children and putting them in prison. Too late for that guy, wrong again. This guy, God would radically save him, and he'd write 2/3 of the New Testament, right? How about this? Jesus meets a woman at a well. Five husbands. Failure over and over and over. Too late, wrong. Jesus would share who he is, and she'd become the greatest evangelist we see in the Gospel of John. How about this? Guys, hanging on a cross, a thief next to Jesus. Too late, wrong again, because today you're going to be with me in paradise. And so we need to never lose track of the cross of Christ, that it's never too late for us to be reconciled and restored. But let's not let it stop there. Because notice what it says here in Judges chapter 16, verse 28. It says, then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I might be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes. Here, I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but when you fall to sin, you need to repent and be reconciled back to God. Don't stop at reconciliation. Now get revenge for your two eyes. We need to get revenge. What has sin stolen from you? Let's just not sit there. Let's be aggressive and get revenge for all sin, death, hell, and the grave has tried to steal from us. And so get revenge. Start sharing Jesus. Eddie, get revenge and start inviting Zach to church. Get revenge, man, by worshiping the Lord. Coming to a night of worship. Get revenge for all that sin is trying to steal from you. It's a thief. And so I'm going to ask Kim to come on up here as we're going to close. And here's what I want us to see. See, Samson was told it's too late for him. But here's what I want us to look. If you were to turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11, if you've been in church for any length of time, you know this is the hall of fame of faith, where all the greats in the Christian story, it's the roll call of faith. And then we read in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 32, it says this. The author of Hebrews says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and what's that name? Of Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. Get revenge. All God has taken from you. And I promise you this, it's not too late for you ever.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.